Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Things that death cannot do. A couple of weeks ago, we looked into the Bible to see some biblical instructions for overcoming grief and depression. This past week, I received a phone call from a sister in Christ who had additional questions in regard to what takes place in death. In that, I realized that death can indeed be a very confusing subject to many. It is also very challenging whenever we lose loved ones and whenever we lose church members and dear friends. But at the same time, as we looked this past, or 2 weeks ago rather, we saw from the Bible how that we can take comfort in knowing that those who die in the Lord, that indeed they have gone on to a better place, to a place of reward. As we present the lesson tonight in regard to things that death cannot do, I also want us to think about things that death does do, things that we do experience in death. But as we think about this in like figure, we're going to have a little bit of review. Good people, when we think about death, death is an event that will take place in every person's life. The Bible very clearly identifies for us that God has created mankind. And whenever God created man, we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we understand that God had created man that he could have lived forever there in the garden if he would have stayed in contact with the tree of life. But because of sin, we understand that not only did sin have its place in the world, but good people, also because of sin, the process of death was put into place. And the Bible very clearly identifies for us today is that death is an appointment that mankind must keep. God says in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, He says that My Spirit will not strive with man forever. Well, what does God mean that His Spirit will not strive with man forever? God says that there is indeed a time where that man will live and that man will die. And God wants us to understand that indeed we are placed here upon the face of this earth to live, but also while we live here, to focus our life and our attention upon Him. Why? Because God has a sign for us that life upon this earth will not continue forever. We will indeed expire from this earth, and the Bible identifies that that is indeed called death. Some people are blessed to be able to live long life. The Bible records unto us is that there were only two who went away from this life without facing death, and that is Enoch and Elijah. But good people, we understand in regard to those who live upon the face of this earth, there were those in the Bible who were able to live long lives, such as Methuselah, who lived 969 years of age, Moses, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7, who lived 120 years. The Bible also identifies for us is that other people will live for a relatively short time. In fact, the Bible tells us that life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And good people, no doubt, most of us within our family, and if not in our family, we've come in contact with people throughout the course of our life here, maybe that have lost an infant or youth or teenager or even young adults. We are not guaranteed that we will be able to live long, but that the life that we have here, especially in comparison to that which awaits us in eternity, is short. It is very brief. And God wants you and me to understand that while we live here, that every soul must prepare for our departure. We must prepare our life. We must prepare our soul for the time in which we will depart from this life. And as we think in regard to those who pass on, always family members are left with questions. Questions in regard to, where is my loved one? Questions about what it is that God says takes place at the point of death, but not only at the point of death, what awaits those who have died in and outside of the body of Christ? Good people, what happens at death? The Bible identifies for us from Psalms 116 and verse 15, the Lord says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Whenever we read today from a human standpoint, we look at death and we see death as a very tragic event. But God says that in His eyes, it is a precious thing that happens. And as we explore what it is that the Lord says concerning that it is precious in His sight that one passes from this life into eternity, sometimes we are challenged by that. And why? Why is the death of a Christian precious in the sight of God? Because of that individual's love for God. And because not only this individual loved God, they loved God to the point to where they were obedient to Christ in baptism. And as God looks at this individual, this soul who had given their life over to Him, they survived life. They survived living their life faithful to Him until they drew their last breath. And now they've reached their point of reward. And for that reason, I believe that God identifies for us is that whenever His Christians die, indeed it is precious in His sight. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I need to rejoice. Why? Because our brothers and sisters, whenever they die in the Lord, they no longer are faced with the temptations that we face in life. Every man is tempted while he is in this world. We are tempted with the lust of the flesh. We are tempted with the lust of the eyes. We are tempted each and every day with the pride of life. All the things that this world has to offer in an ungodly sense, Satan places before us on a daily basis. But in death, Isaiah says in Isaiah 57 and verse 1, he says, the righteous is taken away from evil. Note verse 2, he says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their bed, each one walking in his uprightness. God says concerning those who die, those who pass from this life into eternity, that they no longer have to worry about the temptations that you and I face in this world. And as Christians, we need not to fear death. Why? Because the Bible tells us that whenever children of God die, whenever faithful members of the Lord's church pass from this life into eternity, that they are actually met by angels and carried into Abraham's bosom. At that time, the Bible reveals unto us is that Christians are blessed. They are blessed with immense gain. They enter into a state of peace. This world offers, more times than not, anything other than peace. And we realize as Christians that true peace is only found in Christ. And whenever we obey Christ in baptism, there is indeed that peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because we know in this life that we have a relationship with our God, but yet at the same time, we are not given the type of peace that those who pass on are given whenever they enter into that state in the Hadean realm. These individuals are given peace and comfort and rest, awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior whenever they shall be ushered into an eternal life in heaven with our God. What happens in death? Good people, death results in a departure from this life. In Paul's message to Timothy, the young evangelist, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul identifies in the context of verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not unto me only, but unto all those who love His appearing." Know what Paul says. The time of my departure is at hand. If you go to the Greek language, good people, that's nautical language. And it's as a sail boat that is taking up the sail and sailing off. And Paul uses that terminology to define his life. His life upon the face of this earth is that whenever he was getting ready to die, he knew that he was getting ready to depart. His family, his friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. And God knows that whenever death occurs, life leaves the body and the body returns to the ground. And as those who are left behind, we have a void in our life, an emptiness. And God realizes that we miss them. And God has designed us as humans, as those who have been created even after His very image, to weep whenever we lose our loved one. But also God knows that as Christians we are longing for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might be reunited with
not only our God, but with faithful brothers and sisters who have gone on before. The Bible tells us that whenever death takes place, people are asleep, but the soul is alive. Well, what does he mean that people are asleep, but the soul is alive? Good people understand he's not in any way introducing soul sleeping. That is a false doctrine. The soul does not sleep. The physical body dies is what's under consideration there whenever he says that people are asleep. He uses a language of which you and I would today identify people who are sleeping, but he uses a language to define to us is that these people have died physically. They've gone on. They're no longer with us. But he says in the context of Paul's epistle to the saints in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10 is that the soul continues to live on forever as it enters into the Hadean realm. God's people go on to be with the Lord. In all of that, good people, we understand that they enter into the Hadean realm. And in the Hadean realm, as what is taught in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 and following, there is that realm of paradise, and those who are Christians are there. Those Christians are there in paradise, where Jesus Himself passed through as He entered into heaven. And they are awaiting the judgment, the time in which Jesus Christ our Lord will return. And then these souls will be brought forth out of the Hadean realm and through the grave, and they will be given a new body. And Christians will go on, in the ultimate sense, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in heaven for our eternal abode. Christians are given a rest whenever they pass from this life into eternity. You know, good people, whenever we think in regard to the things that this world has to offer, sometimes it wears us thin. Sometimes it wears us out, and especially at the close of a week. We've worked so many hours throughout the course of a week, and we cannot wait for the weekend to be able to gather some rest. And we're blessed this weekend with a long weekend, and yet at the same time, most of us probably have things planned to where we'll wear ourselves out even that. But it's wonderful to be able to rest. And you and I know what it means whenever we receive that rest is that we feel revived and we're able to go back out. Well, God says the sustaining rest is still awaiting God's people. There remains a rest for the people of God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 12 and 13, He said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." God says that there is indeed a rest that Christians enter into whenever they pass from this life and enter into the eternal realm that our God Himself dwells in. We see some things that the Bible says that death does for us. But what are some things that death cannot do? Good people, death cannot separate us from the love of God. We are loved by God immensely while we are here. The Bible tells us concerning the love that God has for us is that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was already condemned. He sent His Son into the world to demonstrate how much He loves us by giving us a means of salvation in Christ. But good people understand that whenever we die, death does not separate us from the love of God, but really in a more literal and ultimate sense, doesn't it place us into the love of God, into the love of Christ, wherein that we are comforted, wherein that we shall be with our God forever? But also understand, the Bible very clearly identifies that death cannot claim a person for a second time. Do you remember Jairus' daughter? There in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, Jairus' daughter had died. And in that, Jesus raises her from the dead. This young lady would have had to have died twice. Remember Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead? Even the widows from Nain, whom Jesus had raised from the dead? These people were not as fortunate as you and I. You and I only have to go through death once. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we identify this context of Scripture to say is that after we pass from this life is the judgment. But know what he says in the context. He says, as is appointed unto man once to die. Not twice, not three times, one time to die. And as Christians, we can take great joy in knowing that no matter how we die, no matter how painful or how pain-free, we only have to go through that trial once in our life. But also, death cannot erase the precious memories that you and I have. You know, as we live here in this world, what a blessing it is to be able to spend with our loved ones, to be able to capture opportunities so that we're able to make memories with one another. And I tell those who have loved ones who pass on, hold on to those memories. A lot of times we are a picture-happy world, taking all kinds of pictures. And I love to be able to get out old albums whenever we go back to Indiana and to look at my grandparents, or Dawn to look at her grandparents who have passed on, and family members who are no longer with us. These are memories that you and I are blessed with, that God has given us the ability to have, and we need to cling to those things. But also, not only do we understand that those memories are not erased, the instructions and the examples that have been set forth. Remember what is said concerning Enoch? He, being dead, still speaks. And our loved ones who have passed on still speak to us through the instructions, through the examples that they have given unto us throughout the course of our life. And death cannot take that stuff away from us. But also, we need to realize tonight is that death cannot change the lives of others. I know as we were going through the school of preaching back several years ago, they told us, guys, whenever things happen in people's lives, show up. Whenever there's a birth in the family, show up. Make phone calls and let them know that you're thinking about them. Whenever somebody's in the hospital, show up. Whenever somebody loses a loved one, show up. Why? Because these are impressionable moments. These are opportunities where people are thinking about their life and about their situation with God. And these are times where the people will, if they're ever going to wake up and change their life, maybe it's going to be at that time. And we need to understand is that whenever death takes place, it may give us an opportunity to reach out to these people, but still at the same time, death itself will not change the lives of these people. These people are in control of their own destiny. They are in control of their own decisions. And you and I need to realize, as what the man who had passed on, the rich man there in the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19, that even if one were to come back from the dead, if they will not listen to the messengers of God in this age, they would not listen to one of those individuals in like figure. Also, we realize, according to the Scriptures, that death cannot destroy the soul. There are individuals who believe in total annihilation, and good people understand that concept is not true. That doctrine is never taught in the Bible. The Bible very clearly identifies to us is that God preserves the soul. God preserves the soul. Whenever that individual passes, the soul departs from the body. Whenever the body is recommitted to the ground from whence it came, then the soul goes on into the Hadean realm, and for the Christian, into the realm their paradise, to receive comfort from the Lord. We also understand as Christians today is that death cannot frustrate our hope in Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. As Christians, we have a blessed hope. A hope that no one else in this world is able to understand. Whenever the world hopes for something, they are hoping that it will come true, but yet at the same time, they have no assurance in that thing of which they're hoping for. As Christians, our hope is in Christ. And the Bible tells us that the hope that we have is a hope that we need to anticipate. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And the hope that we have is a hope of assurance. Why? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, whenever He died at Calvary's cross, He did not remain in the grave, but on the third day He was resurrected from the grave by the power, by the authority of God. And now He has become the first fruit. And in like figure, now you and I realize that our hope is not
only in Christ in this world. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, if it were, we would be of all men most miserable. But our hope is in the resurrected Christ. And in all this, then, God tells us that death cannot hold the body throughout eternity. It would be terrible to have the mindset of many in the world that believe that whenever a man dies, he is no better than an animal. I heard one preacher say years ago that whenever a man dies, or this is the concept that man has presented, and he was preaching that concept, whenever a man dies, he's no longer, or he is just like the dog Rover, who's dead all over. He's gone to the grave, and that's it. And the Bible tells us most certainly that that's not the case. Man lives on, the soul, and there God tells us that there is going to be a resurrection. He says death, the sting of death, is destroyed. Oh, death, where is your victory? There is no victory. Therefore, death. Why? Because God assures us that there is going to be a resurrection. In fact, Jesus Himself in the book of John chapter 5 verses 28 and 29 tells us that there's going to be a resurrection of the good as well as of the evil. One resurrection, not two resurrections. Again, another school of thought says is that there's going to be two resurrections. The Bible does not say that. There's going to be one resurrection. And at that time, then man will go to stand before God in judgment. Whenever Christ comes and resurrects the body, and we take on a new form or a new state. And you know, the Bible tells us is that death cannot cancel the Christian's reward of heaven. In Peter's message, there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, he identifies concerning the heavenly reward, that is, the reward that you and I have as Christians, is that it is reserved for us in heaven. We like to travel, Dawn and I, from time to time. And in our travels, I always call ahead to make reservations. And the reason for that is years ago, we were traveling from Indiana to Florida. And I told Dawn before we left, there's no need to make reservations. There's always rooms out and about. Well, we got down just outside of Florida. And we stopped about 2 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? We couldn't find a room. Since that time, I make reservations long before we go to make certain that we have a place that is there for us. Well, you know, God says is that there is a place that is reserved for us as Christians, and that place is in heaven. Who made the reservation? Jesus Christ has built the establishment, if you would. He has gone on to give us a place. In fact, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And understand, that place is prepared for everyone who will prepare their life to stand before God, who will obey Christ in baptism, and who will continue to live their life faithful to God unto the very end. Do you remember what Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8? When he identifies that the time of his departure is at hand, he says, "I have fought the fight." He identifies life is as a fight, and by all means it is. We get beat up from time to time, but we keep on fighting. And note what he goes on to say, "I have finished the race." God says, "Keep on running. I have kept the faith." And note, because of Paul's success in keeping the faith, what he's able to say next, "Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." But this is important for you and me tonight. "Not unto me only, but unto all those who love His appearing." There is a place in heaven for each and every one of us if you and I will live our lives as what Paul did, living a life that is faithfully committed to God to the very end. Death cannot take our reward from us. Tonight, as we close the lesson, we want to ask, are you prepared? Are you prepared for your departure from this life? I'm not talking about have you made all of your funeral arrangements. I'm not talking about have you sat down with your family and said, you know, here's what my final wishes are. And I think that that's all important to do. But at the same time, are you prepared with the Lord for your departure? Have you obeyed Christ in baptism? If not, why not? That is the most important step that a person can take in life.
Are you prepared to stand before our God in judgment if you were to pass from this life into eternity tonight? God stands willing and ready to receive you if you're willing and ready to obey Christ